Well, it's good to have you here this time. And Paul, I'm sure, and Shelley, you know by now, are very, very sick. He called me on Friday and said, Kurt, I got a problem. I don't think I can make it. So, okay. I said, no problem. We'll do the best we can. But just pray for Shelley and Paul. And he sounded very, very sick. And I know there's some others that are homesick. Just pray for them. There's a bad bug of some kind going around. I don't know what it all is, but anyway, I'm just glad you could be here today, and there's many other places you could have been, but thank you for being here today. Not to listen to me, but to be here with God's people and to take some time and special time to come and study and hear God's word, and thank you for doing that. So as an introduction today, I'm going to be looking at a couple of things, but I'm going to call this title today Rejection or Acceptance. Rejection or Acceptance. Over quite a few years now, whether it be teaching a Bible study or just running into people in public in general, whether old, whether middle-aged, young, whatever, one of the things that I have become more conscious of is I find that there are a lot of people dealing with rejection. And I think it's a terrible thing on our society. Not all forms of rejection are bad, believe it or not. There are times then it might be a good thing for us to be rejected. Maybe you're trying to get a loan at a bank that you shouldn't really have. Maybe the bank's going to reject it, and you may be upset, and you may be not happy, but in the overall plan of God in our lives, sometimes we are rejected for the right reason, okay? I want you to know that. But there are other times when we have to deal with the very fact of rejection. Rejection basically means refusal, okay? You are being refused in some way or some form or some shape by someone or some thing. And there again, you may feel like you don't deserve to be rejected, okay? And there is many times when that is very detrimental in the lives of a person. Well, what about believers? Have you ever felt that way as a believer, being rejected? Don't we like to be accepted more? Probably, would you say? Okay. We are looking for acceptance. Let me tell you why I think we can kind of prove that a little bit. You know, when you look at society today, we do things as people, as human beings, sometimes that we might not even normally do to be accepted. Would you agree? How about maybe we try to stay up with today's clothing and styles? Okay, some of us don't worry about it, I'm really honestly, and that's just fine. But probably more the younger generation, when I was young, I liked the certain styles and certain things. And as young guys, you know what, guys, I'll speak to you for a minute. I know about having all the nice trucks, right, and having all the nice things that you want to be accepted, right? But today we see a society that is beginning to accept things and things that we shouldn't be accepting. So what's our other option then? Right? We're going to have to reject it. So based on whose principles? Mine? Absolutely not. But we need to look at what God wants in our life, and that's what we base whether we are accepted or not. And we're going to see that a little bit today. But there's going to be times when we may think that we feel like that we're being rejected way too much for whatever reason. We may grow up in a family where the parents are rejecting us, or a child that's been rejected. One's favored over the other. All of these things come into a tremendously damaging dynamic. And to the point where it depends on the time that We're rejected, and to the degree of rejection. And some of that can be a huge struggle for people their whole life. And those are the kind of things that cause us to think that we may be the only one that's dealing with rejection. But I can tell you that if you feel that way, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to read a little bit here. And if you don't have your Bibles, I'll read it for you. But it's in Isaiah 53, verse 3 is the one we're going to focus on here for a few moments. If you have it, we'll read it. Isaiah 53, 3, verse 3, we're talking about Jesus here that was coming in the future. And this is telling us about some things that's going to happen in the life of Jesus. But because we're talking about rejection today, in verse 53:3, it says here, "He is despised and rejected by men." Take note of that. "A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we did not esteem him." So there's going to be times when you'll feel just like Jesus. Did Jesus deserve to be rejected? But it goes further. Rejection is bad when someone rejects you for something you may feel isn't fair. That's when we get ourselves into a pinch. It may not be. Life isn't fair. We all know that. But one thing for sure, when we talk about rejection, here it goes even further. When someone rejects you, that's one thing. But when they reject you to the point of despising you, we just can't, you know, you've heard the old saying, we can't stand their guts. Okay? That's real true rejection. And to the point where I not only reject you, but I despise you. That's a sad situation for people to be in, okay? But here's where I want to go with this. If you've ever felt that way, and you don't know what to do, that's what we're going to talk about today. Because really, in any situation we get in, we need to understand how to overcome these problems. And I will not stand here and tell you that I know everything you need to do to overcome every problem. I've dealt with them myself. But we can get so overwhelmed that we don't know what to do. You think of a young child at home that's stuck in a family where the parents basically reject the child his whole life. They really can't do anything about it. They're stuck there until the day they can get out on their own. But even though they leave, they are going to deal with this problem for a long time if they ever get over it. So what we need to look at is how we can help each other and ourselves get out of that rejection complex, because it can become a complex. I knew kids growing up that I know they were living, I didn't understand it at the time. But now when I look back, I see how people lived with rejection to the point where they had a complex over it. They just expected to be rejected. Okay? So we see here Jesus was despised and rejected. So just remember that Jesus also was rejected, and we know that. We don't have to study very much in the New Testament to see all the things that happened to him. But I'm just going to ask you this. I'm going to categorize this a bit. So how many of you have ever been plagued by a rejection complex? Would you say in the past you've suffered rejection? Would you say in the past and still are dealing with it today? Are you past it or are you not? Have you just been rejected from time to time? You know, not very much, very little, little here and there. Or would you say you've never had to deal with rejection, ever? Okay? I would find it hard to believe that anyone here can say that they have never dealt with rejection in any way, okay? And I'm not talking about not getting your loan from the bank, okay? I'm talking about the human element, where for some reason people reject you. Well, I want you to know, if you're a believer and you are going to try and live for Christ and follow His word, the more you do, the more you're going to deal with rejection from the world. So see, that's where we have to deal with it as Christians. What are you going to do? One of the things that happens so often is the fear factor sets in. I for sure do not want to be rejected. And if I have to forsake what I believe because of fear, I will do it. I want to encourage you not to do that. Because what makes the difference is who we're living for and who is backing us. Doesn't that make a difference? All right? And we know that Jesus has our back. That's a good thing, okay? So let's just move on a little bit. So let's look at some ways that I hope today that we can overcome some rejection complexes, if you have any, or if you know people that do. So let's turn to Mark chapter 6, and we're going to look at another example of Jesus dealing with it. But knowing that you're going to, in some way, shape, or form, be rejected at some point, how are you going to deal with it? Let me ask you, if you have already, how do you respond? You see, that makes the difference, right? How we respond to anything makes the difference, okay? We can get upset. We can become angry. We can become depressed. Okay? We can become all kinds of things. But this, let's just look and see how Jesus dealt with us with it, and it'll help us. So Mark chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. So remember, his disciples are with him. They've been seeing all the things he's been doing, miracle-wise and everything else. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. So here's Jesus, and he had went back to where he grew up. So just to set the stage and the scene, Jesus decided to go back where he grew up. Anybody know where that was? Bible question. Where? Nazareth. Absolutely. So it'd be like us leaving home and being away for 10 years or 20 years, and we're going to come back to where we grew up, okay? That's what's going on here. And it says here, and many hearing him were astonished. So just remember, this thing started out quite well. You know, you ever look back on things, and things went good at the start, but then she kind of all went downhill from there, okay? And sometimes we deal with that. So here we go. But it says, they were saying, where did this man get these things? So they're beginning to question Jesus, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed in his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. I'm going to stop there for a moment. So here's Jesus, went back to his hometown. Now, if you and I were to go back to our hometown, we're hoping we're going back to the people that we used to know, and everything's friendly. And we may realize that, man, it's good to see you. Everybody's all happy. But then they find out, whoops, something about you we don't like. And don't forget, we know who you are. We know how we grew up with you, hear bad things, you know, things you did in the past. Now, Jesus didn't have that problem. But this is the way they looked at it, okay? But they said, you know, it's really impressive, some of the things that he's doing. I'm paraphrasing it a bit here, because he said that such mighty works are performed by his hands. Jesus was healing some people. He was doing that, okay? Is this not the carpenter? So they began to say, wait a minute, this is Jesus. The guy we used to know that grew up here, we knew his parents, his sisters, we know what they did for a living. And here's the same guy coming back and performing all these things. You see, they just didn't understand who Jesus was, okay, other than knew him personally as a person. But they didn't realize that it was God in the flesh that they were dealing with, okay? And so they began to question. And the reason they did, they were saying, he's just like us. He's no better than us. He's just a human being. You know, you've heard it. We're all human, right? But as we go on, we see that was part of the problem. And it says, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now, why were they offended? They were offended because they felt like that if they really put their faith in him, that they would be guilty of following somebody that wasn't worth following. It would just be, there was nothing to it. I tell you today, when people have the offer that Jesus gives them of eternal life, or you may share the gospel with them, you know yourself, there are some that are interested, some are offended. So I ask you again, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to crumble in fear? Oh, are you not going to do it because you're afraid? Are you not going to do it because you don't want to be popular, or at least to the point of acceptance? You want to be accepted. I just want to be accepted. Okay, so I guess I'll back off that. That's pretty high tension. Okay? And I'm not saying get in a fight with anybody over it. But what are you going to do when you are rejected? Faith was talking about Cameron, right? And did I understand? Where is Faith? Is she here? I don't see her. Oh, there you are. Cameron is being a little bit rejected, isn't he? Because of what he believes and what he's trying to share. Okay, so what do we do when we're rejected? Okay. Are we going to kowtow in fear? Okay. Are we going to just say, fine, I'll just be like them. I'll just do what they do. I'll just be like the world. Okay. Questions we have to answer. But it says, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work here except that he had laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled, and here's what he marveled at, because of their unbelief. He just marveled at it. He said, how can you not want to know, you know, who I am? And you've seen what I've done. Okay, but you know what part of the problems were? People, even though they seen what he had done, they still feared losing their freedom to do what they wanted to. Now let me ask you, are we in that situation today with a lot of the world? So you see, people would accept Christ if he would let them go ahead and keep doing what they're doing and want to do. That becomes a struggle. Oh, I want you, Jesus, as my Savior, but here's the question I have. Does that mean I have to do what you ask me to do with my life? Oh, maybe you're asking a little much. Even though you went to the cross and died and shed your blood for me, and now you're expecting me to change my life, don't you think you're asking for a little much? A question we have to answer, okay? Don't be surprised. They rejected Jesus in many ways, and they may reject you, okay? But let's get over the rejection complex together, if we can, okay? The fear of rejection. The fear of not receiving approval. Do you ever fear that? I may not get approved. I'm not talking about a bank loan. I'm talking about people. You may be working somewhere, and they find out you're a Christian. They'll do everything they can to destroy you and get you off the team. Those kind of things. But Jesus was faced with a fear that plagues most of humanity, a fear that many of us allow to dictate our choices in life. So how are you going to make your decisions? That's where it all comes down to. Choices, choices, choices. Our choices of what? Schools? Choice of occupation? Your marriage partner? Leisure activities? And the list goes on and on and on. So, you may be dealing with it in many areas, okay? The fear of not receiving approval, the fear of not being accepted, is a motivating factor for so many decisions that we make in life. Even in our ordinary day-to-day lives, you think of all the choices you make every day to make sure that you're not rejected. Do you think that's true? Anybody worry about that? Let me say something, and I may not be true. You do? Anybody? Okay. Let me say something. As you get older, Stan, you help me out here. Get more my age and Stan's age. It really, I would say, gets easier to not worry about what people are going to think. Would you agree, Stan? Okay. I want to make sure I don't go the wrong way on that. I mean, I don't want to be something I ain't supposed to be and not worry about it. But if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and people don't like it, it doesn't bother me much. Younger people, I honestly believe, deal with that more. I did. Maybe it's different with you. Wasn't with me. Okay. So what happens? The feeling of fear sets in. Here's what happens. Rejection produces a number of emotions, I believe, in us. The feeling of inadequacy. Someone doesn't accept you. Why not? What's wrong with me? You know, am I not wearing the right clothes, right hair color, right shoes, right truck, whatever? Okay, that sets in. Why am I inadequate? Why won't they accept me? The feeling of being unaccepted. The feeling of doing something wrong or giving the wrong impression. So then when we deal with that kind of thing and fear sets in, we begin to do things, you know, or we even fear doing the wrong thing. The irony of Jesus' response to rejection is that he faced it not with fear, but with amazement. So let's read on in chapter 6. Now I may have to get my glasses on. You could turn the lights up a little bit, I guess. I'm kind of picky. Thank you. Okay, verse 5. He could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So he went ahead and he still healed a few people. But he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in circuit teaching. And so if we look further, we will see that he was in another place. We don't have time to look there today because of time. But people were rejecting what Jesus had to say. I mean, and really rejecting him. To the point where his disciples said, Jesus, now just hang on here. We can put a stop to this. Why don't we call down fire from heaven and cook these people and shut them up and be done with it? You remember that story? And Jesus said, wait a minute. Listen to what you're saying. I didn't come into this world to kill people. I came to bring life to people. Okay, here's what you need to know. Jesus was willing to face being rejected by the world to help people come to a place where they could live in him. So you see what it boils down to is if we are in Christ, like it says in Ephesians, if what we are doing is because we are in Christ and living according to His Word, doing what we know we're supposed to do, knowing that He is the one that has our backs, if we are rejected, just keep on moving. You see what Jesus did? He didn't stay there. He kept moving. You remember Paul said, you know, I'm going to share the gospel and do as much good as I can in this town where I am as long as I can. But after a while, if it looks like I'm not getting through, or, you know, I'm going to kick the sandals off my shoes here and keep moving. He kept moving. Okay? When people reject you, pray for them, but keep moving, because you're going to find somebody out there that wants to hear the gospel. They don't want to reject it. They want to accept it. We are looking for those people. But if we get caught up in fear and say, oh, yeah, I want to be popular, I want to keep all my friends, well, so do I. But there's a point to where I say, I can't do it. My friendship level changes. I have friends that I've known for years, good friends. I consider them good friends and still do. But I will tell you, there are times when we really have to change our level of friendship with different people. I have people that, you know, I have a level with them where I can relate to them, but they like getting drunk every night. Okay, you say, well, you got friends like that? Yeah, I got a level of friends. There's some things we won't be doing together, okay? Because my hope is that very reason that they'll see someday, because of what I don't do, they'll say, why don't you do that? Why not? And I'm going to get a chance to share with them. And I have many of them, okay? But be careful. Just remember, when you're doing what God wants you to do, God accepts that. Now, if you're one of His, you know what? He is accepting you, not because of your sin that you're perfect, but in spite of our sin, He loves us enough that if we'll put our faith and trust in His blood and what He did for us on the cross, guess what? We're covered. Doesn't mean that we can just go on doing what we want to do and sinning like we were. We need to stop that. We need to say, okay, because You've accepted me as a sinner, you know what? I need to live for You. And that's what we need to do. I'll move on down. Our time is pretty much up. So I hope we understand that what makes the difference is who we are and what we have in Christ, in Jesus. Jesus knew who He was and where He was going. The disciples didn't know. They were totally unaware of who they were and what they had in Christ. You see, when they said, Jesus, just call down fire and cook these people, they didn't realize who they were really, really in the fact that they were dealing with someone that was going to change the world forever. They were ready to respond in anger and call down fire. But here's where I want to go. Who you are and what you have in Christ is what makes the difference. You are, if you have accepted Christ and His offer for eternal life, you are a child of God. We don't want to forget that. You're a child of the God that's going to return and take His people home someday. In the meantime, we've got work to do. You are seated in heavenly places. Why? Because that's where Christ is, and that's where we're going to be. And you have inherited all things. Ephesians 1:17-18 says that. If you're one of His, you have an inheritance coming. I hear families fighting over inheritances, and oh my goodness. But we do have a real inheritance coming because of what Jesus did, okay? Last, we always triumph, even through these times, when we are in Christ. And meaning in Christ, meaning that He lives in us and He will carry us through the tough times, whether it's acceptance or whether it's rejection, by the world. So be careful when you start thinking that we can just flow along with the world when we need to, and then jump back in the other lane when we need to get back on track with Jesus. I would encourage you to be very careful and think about that, because you will have little effect on the unbeliever. If you keep switching lanes, you need to stick with Jesus to make the difference. Okay, in closing, I just want to ask you, what have you missed because of the rejection or the complex that you may have had, have, or may have in the future? So what have you missed because of it? You're going to miss a lot of blessings. You're going to miss a lot of things that you could have been involved in to do stuff for God's kingdom. But here's the good news. It's not too late. If you're dealing with those kind of things right now, it's not too late to get healed and move on and move forward. Don't leave this thing tied to your leg like a piano. God delights in making the crooked paths straight. I don't know about you. I like a straight path. Me and Patty went through Oregon one time on a holiday, and it's like this, and it's like this, and like this. And she's trying to say, hey, did you see that? Did you see that? And I said, no, I didn't see none of it. I hate this crooked road, and if I don't watch, we're going off the highway. But when it was nice country, but I like a nice straight line. I do. I really do. Maybe that's the farmer in me. I don't know. But that's what we need to do. He says he will make our crooked paths straight. So just, I want to encourage you to do what he says. Don't worry about all the rejection things that may be ahead. Yes, Jesus was rejected. But what did he do? He kept moving and kept going. Okay? So I want to encourage you to do that today. If you've dealt with that, you know what? You got to put the past in the past. If you've asked Jesus to forgive you, quit dragging that piano around. Get on with it. Start doing things for Christ. I don't know how long we have. I really don't. But I think we are getting very, very close from what I see according to Scripture. But get on with doing things for Jesus. Don't just try to win the popularity contest everywhere you go. What you will find is at some point, people will not accept you. Hey, you know what? Time's moving on. And there's certain things I can't do anymore, right? I could complain about it, bellyache about it, but I just realize there's other things I can do. And that's what you got to do. But thank you. We'll close there. And I just want to encourage anyone that's, like I said, if you're dealing with it, you know, I'm willing to talk with you. I'm sure Paul and the elders are. But just know that if we continue to do God's work and his will, regardless of the opposition that we have, God has a blessing waiting for you and me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we know who you are. We know that you love us in spite of our weaknesses and our sins. And God, may we be more concerned about living the way you want us to, that we might be an example to others, to not give in to the worldly ways just to be accepted. But more importantly, Father, help us to be concerned about being accepted by you. And we just pray for anyone here that is dealing with it or has. We just pray that the healing will continue or begin, and help us to know how to minister to those people that are dealing with different things. We ask this all in your precious name. Amen.